May I speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You may or may not know this, but I was born on Groundhog Day. And there's something very fun about being born on a holiday. It means that every year people are predisposed to celebrate your birthday. And if you're lucky, they might even make a movie about it. In my case, a pretty good one. If you haven't seen the movie Groundhog Day, it stars Bill Murray as a somewhat miserable meteorologist named Phil Connors, who is sent on assignment to Punxsutawney to cover the Groundhog Festival there. And he's not very excited to begin with, and even less excited as it gradually dawns on him that he's caught in a time loop. He's stuck in Punxsutawney living the same day over and over and over again. And every morning when he wakes up, he's just a little bit more angry and a little bit more upset to hear the clock radio going off and the same song, Sonny and Cher singing, I Got You, Babe. Yeah, it's terrible. And as reality sets in, he goes through the different stages of grief, although in a much more linear and much more orderly procession than happens in reality. But interestingly enough, the screenwriters actually used Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's five stages of grief as a sort of model for writing the script. And some hilarious hijinks ensue, and some rather poignant ones. He initially becomes utterly self-indulgent and follows his every last whim. But eventually, Phil Connors comes to accept that he's stuck, that there's no getting out, and in a way, that realization is more freeing than the earlier impulsiveness. It helps him to see his life in a new way. It's only after he resigns himself to this fate that he really sort of tries to make the most of it. He learns how to play the piano. He learns to ice sculpt. He studies poetry. He even figures out everyone in this town who's having an emergency that day and decides to go and help them. Now, someone actually took the time to go and do the math, and based on all the skills that he learned and all of the on-screen time that's shown, he likely spent at least 34 years in this time loop. And at the end of it all, at the end of it, he finally has the perfect day. He helps everyone who needs it, he saves a few lives, and he learns to genuinely care for the people around him rather than just himself. And the morning after he does this, he wakes up, and the first thing he hears is Sonny and Cher singing, I Got You, Babe. But it turns out it's actually a different day. He's hearing the same song, but he's escaped to a new day, February 3rd. He's gotten a new lease on life. I watch Groundhog Day periodically, not just because it's based on my birthday. It's a good movie, but I've often wondered every time that I watch it what I would do with an infinite amount of time, with a surplus of chances to do as much as I wanted, to do things as perfectly as I could manage, a sort of lifetime supply of second chances. If I had to pick a theme from the reading from Jeremiah that we just heard, that would be it. We worship a God of second chances. Several chapters earlier in his prophecy, Jeremiah foretells the fall of the kingdom of Judah, the last of the two kingdoms of Israel, of God's chosen people. Jeremiah says they haven't listened to God. They haven't given up sin. And for this, they'll be conquered by Babylon. But here, just a few chapters later, Jeremiah foretells a new covenant that God will make with God's people, one different from the covenant or covenants that they broke. A covenant, a law that will be written on their hearts, on our hearts, and by which our sins will be forgiven. God says to us, I will remember your sin no more. Did you catch that? God doesn't just forgive, God also forgets. Now, this isn't the first covenant God has with God's people. It's not even really the second or the third, depending on how you're counting. It's part of a long history of God giving humankind chance after chance, day after day, year after year. That's the story that we tell every Sunday, every week around God's table in our Eucharistic prayer, when we talk about all the ways that God has reached out to us. One of the Eucharistic prayers that we don't use on Sundays, but on our Wednesday evening services we do on occasion, says it this way: we rebelled against you and wandered far away, and yet, as a mother cares for her children, you would not forget us. Time and again, you called us to live in the fullness of your love. So when Jeremiah tells of a new covenant, that's what he means. Yet another chance when humanity falls short. Yet another chance to choose relationship with God. Yet another chance to live in the fullness of God's love. And every last Sunday, we renew our half of that covenant, that new covenant in Christ's blood, shed for us and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Like Groundhog Day for Phil Connors, every Sunday is for us in some ways very much the same. It's yet another chance to start again, to try to do things right. And the message of God's invitation to us time and time again isn't much more complicated than a simple, "I got you, babe." Every Sunday we're given the assurance that we are forgiven when we inevitably fail to do things right, because we worship a God of second chances. That's never clearer than during this season of Lent. And every Lent, as it passes more quickly than I imagine possible, as my best laid plans of being better, of truly embracing a Lenten discipline, slip a little bit out of my grasp, I wonder what I would do if I had a surplus of time. If I had infinite chances to live into my faith more fully, to really deepen my relationship with God, what would I do with a lifetime supply of second chances at spiritual discipline? In a sense, that's what Lent is about. About acknowledging our imperfection, about wondering how we could be better, right? Lent is the time when we come to the realization that we are forgiven, and the time that we take stock of what that really means, both in terms of the weight lifted from us and the responsibility placed upon us. The weight that's been lifted is the weight of sin. And sin, I know, is something that we Episcopalians tend to reckon with only in Lent. But Lent is the right season to do that, not to beat ourselves up, not to feel bad about ourselves, but to more fully understand the gravity of the second chance given to us all at Easter. To understand the oppressive weight that Christ's victory over death has freed us from. But the lifting of that weight comes with another realization too. Just like Phil Connors, there is only so long that we can live only for ourselves. With the overwhelming number of second and third and fourth and fifth chances we've been given, eventually we too have to wonder, isn't there something more we could be doing with these extra chances? Aren't we meant for more? Knowing that Christ died for us to live means that eventually we have to move our focus outward from ourselves to Christ, our Savior. both in and of himself and in those around us. With the lifetime supply of second chances given by Christ, we eventually have to try to seek Christ in earnest. And we know where to find Christ. In the simplest of things, in bread and wine, in the waters of baptism, in God's people gathered together. And in the needy, in the hungry, in the marginalized and the forgotten, in what the world considers the least of these. And we find Christ too every time we pray these words, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Because if we worship a God of second chances, then offering second chances to others is itself a form of worship. Nadia Boltz-Weber, a sort of celebrity Lutheran pastor, said it this way: "By being in community, we take turns being the ones who are disappointing, and then forgive each other and move on." That's freeing, isn't it? Recognizing our own imperfection. It means not holding ourselves or others to some impossible standard. God forgives and God forgets, so the least we can do is forgive one another. That's what it means to follow a God of second chances. And knowing that God is truly a God of second chances, we cannot allow ourselves to forget that we are forgiven because we are loved. We cannot allow ourselves to forget who it is that loves us or to stop trying to live a life worthy of that love. And we cannot ever forget to pass that love, that mercy, that grace on to others. Amen.